I invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, in our time of listening today, may we receive your word in the midst of mine. Give to us open ears and hearts and minds. Help us to use your word in the living of our days. Amen. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. Words from Eugene Peterson's Message translation of our passage from Matthew chapter 10. It would be easy to walk away from these verses thinking that Jesus' words are pretty straightforward. We're used to Jesus telling his disciples and us about giving, about hospitality and welcome and selfless acts of service. Sure, no problem. Jesus wants me to be friendlier and give my mailman a cup of cold water on a hot day. Got it. What's next? But Jesus' message is not that simple or one-dimensional. The instructions he gives his disciples in this passage are not just about extending welcome to those they encounter along the way. They're more about receiving the welcome of others. They're about what it looks like and feels like for followers of Jesus, who are often thought of as the ultimate givers, to actually be receivers. You see, Jesus isn't just giving a pep talk to his all-star lineup and telling them about all the feel-good work they will be doing for others out in the world. Jesus is keeping it real, reminding the original Motley Crew about what it means to be his disciples. He shares with them warnings about rejection and persecution, about the pushback they may encounter. We may look up to the disciples now and even model our lives after them. But when Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to share the good news of God's kingdom, he sent them out as vulnerable outsiders. They were a group of provocative messengers sharing often unwelcome truth. And from the outside looking in, the risk certainly outweighs the reward. They had no religious institutions to back their efforts. In fact, with the exception of the power of the Holy Spirit moving through them to heal and to serve, they had no power at all. And to top it all off, Jesus told his first messengers to carry nothing, no money, no food, no extra clothes. He told them to assume a posture of extreme humility and depend wholly on God and on the hospitality of the people they wished to serve. Even the simplest, most basic of their needs, the need for a cup of cold water, for instance, would have to be met by others. I hear Jesus reminding his disciples as they are about to embark on their challenging call that it isn't all about walking around giving out the wisdom and truth they've got as if they are the only ones who've got a handle on the right answer. But Jesus reminds them that it takes as much courage and grace to accept someone's help as it does to offer help to someone. A lesson in humility, in community, in true interdependence with God and with one another. A lesson in not just ministering to the margins, but ministering from the margins. Commentator Debbie Thomas writes this: I imagine this will come as a surprise to many Christians. The majority of us in the West are not used to occupying the margins. We're used to occupying the center. We're used to being the ones who wield institutional and cultural power over the people we set out to help. We're accustomed to being the privileged ones who benevolently extend welcome, generosity, charity, and hospitality to others less privileged than ourselves. Clearly, Jesus thought there was great value in ministering from the margins. He wanted Christian witness to flow from humility and vulnerability, not from complacency and comfort. He wanted his good news to be preached from a place unencumbered and untainted by the temptations and corruptions of human power. He wanted the message of God's saving love to come from dependent outsiders, from the edges of society, not the center. We talk a lot about giving in church, don't we? Giving time, giving talent, giving money, giving back, giving away, giving to those in need. And there is a place for that, obviously. One of Jesus' most central messages in all of his teaching is about the act of giving. It's one of the cornerstones of our call as followers of Christ. Our church relies on giving. But what about receiving? Where does receiving fit into our call? Does the church not also rely on receiving? Do we as individuals not also rely on receiving? Receiving God's blessing, receiving God's grace, receiving Christ's forgiveness, receiving the kindness of others? For many of us, myself most certainly included, receiving is not an easy thing to do. It sounds sort of backwards, but it's true. It's not always easy to be the recipient of a gift, a compliment, attention, praise, and even forgiveness. Perhaps it's because we don't think we deserve it and it makes us uncomfortable. Perhaps we panic because we feel like we need to return the favor. Or maybe it makes us feel selfish or greedy. Whatever the reason, it is often easier for us to be in a position of giving, which makes sense in our culture and in the Christian tradition. Christ was the ultimate giver, after all. Giving evokes images of movement, selflessness, sacrifice, and, of course, busyness. Giving makes us feel useful and independent. Receiving, that makes us feel a little passive and a little lazy. Giving makes us feel like superheroes. Receiving makes us feel vulnerable. Giving puts us in a place of power. Receiving means admitting that we need help. But was not Christ also the ultimate receiver of God's power, God's love, God's salvation? Giving and receiving, intimately linked in this holy harvest work. What if we need to learn the art of receiving welcome before we can extend it honestly in Christ's name? What if the people we sideline as recipients of our charity are actually meant to be our teachers? What I really think is at the heart of Jesus' words from this passage from Matthew today is that giving and receiving are linked in a profound way, inseparable and interdependent. If we want to share the good news, we must know the feeling of being in need of it. If we want to reach the people on the edges, we cannot stand in the center and yell outward. We have to look inward and then stand on the edge, side by side with the very ones we are trying to reach. We must know and own our own need, so that when the time comes to offer a cup of cool water to someone else, we are giving, not from a place of disconnected privilege, but from our very own thirst. In just a few moments, we will do something we haven't done in quite a while. We will receive communion in separate homes, in different places, but united at one table, Christ's table. Notice how I said, receive communion. It's the word we use on purpose when we talk about partaking in this sacred feast. When we thought this quarantine time apart was only going to keep us separated for a few weeks, it seemed like communion was something that should be done only when we could be together. And doing it apart seemed incomplete, and, well, it just didn't feel right. Now, we still think that together is the best place to be and to experience the communion of communion. But in the weeks and months since, we've come to realize our need to receive in ways we never have before. This time of separation has humbled us. It has challenged us. It has connected us in new and powerful ways. It has reminded us of our vulnerability, our fragileness, our hunger and thirst as people and as people of faith. This bread and this cup, whatever sort you've got in front of you right now, are not rewards for being the best giver or for offering the biggest donation or for helping the most amount of people. They are not flags we wave or trophies we put on the mantle. This bread and this cup are gifts to be received. Bread of life, cup of promise, food for the risky and rewarding journey. When it comes to this big, expansive table that transcends walls and streets and zip codes, we come with a need to receive, to be fed. And then when we stand up from this table and, like the disciples, go out into the world to share the goodness and life we have been filled with by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we do so humbled and never forgetting that we too hunger and thirst with the world as the world. Like Jesus reminds his disciples as he sends them out in our passage today, and as he says to them at the Last Supper around the table in that upper room, this is only the beginning. There are challenges behind us, and there are challenges ahead. But in all of our living, in all of our giving, in all of our receiving, it's best to start small, because small really isn't. A cool cup of water, a bite of bread, a sip of juice. Whoever gives, gives Christ. Whoever receives, receives Christ. From the margins, God welcomes us to the table.